Yeah, I'm happy that Dave Pezzo remembered to come in. It's Wednesday, and you're thinking, well, really, we usually have Dave Pezzo on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was Labor Day. And then Tuesday, we had our friend Victor Miller in. Victor did a great job of filling in along with yours truly. It was the Miller & Miller Show. So today, we have Dave Pezzo. No, Dave isn't ducking you when we're talking about the markets. Your beloved markets have been taking a beating. It's not looking good for you.
No.
No, I've been waiting like 7 years to
7 years
to
say that. I know. It's been 20,000 points, but now the last 1,000 have been a beating. I know.
Right.
Yeah, that's I get that, but that's it has been rough lately. I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat this volatility. It's very volatile right now, and it is an interesting time with what's going on with the Chinese. And so is Trump getting their attention? Is Trump able to make some deals here? I think it's in China's interest. I hope it's in China's interest and we get some deals done. Well, but either way, the markets are in turmoil now with trades. And I think more importantly than the trade is just general global slowdown that's concerning the markets.
Well, there's a lot of talk about certainly the decision by Kroger and Walmart to, Kroger saying don't openly carry guns in stores. Also, Walmart decision there. We'll talk about that. By the way, I don't know. What are you doing Friday? Are you busy Friday?
Am I busy Friday? Yes, I am.
Oh, it's too bad. We're going to be once again at Independence Indoor Shooting. I know you were there the last time we were there.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. And you and Rania went shooting.
Yes,
and
it was terrific.
Right.
They were awesome. They let you try all these different weapons. And so we're trying to narrow that down because we're purchasers. So we just haven't made that final decision yet.
Well, there you have it. So we will be there coming up Friday from 5 to 9, and you can shoot. You got to pay for your ammunition, but you can shoot for free, and there's a ton of weapons to choose from there.
There are. It's absolutely amazing, and they're so knowledgeable. They really are. It's and they enjoy it. It's clearly this is a passion for them, and I was amazed at how passionate they were and how tremendous information was.
Sure.
And patient, you know. We're not hitting everything that's moving out there, so it was nice.
Plus, you have the triple digits coming up this week still. So it's clean, it's cool, it's climate-controlled, well-ventilated, which is good at a shooting range, and they have the longest indoor shooting range. We'll get back to that, but let's talk a little bit about the business of guns, the business of firearms. We had another mass shooting. Now we have Walmart saying to customers, and you've been in Idaho how many years? 75 years?
Yeah. 40 years.
40 years.
Over 40 years.
Over 40 years. So Idaho's a little different.
Yep.
Idaho is a little different. You see people carrying guns all the time.
You do.
Right. So now Walmart saying, please don't open carry in our stores.
Mm-hmm.
Kroger saying, please don't open carry in our stores. To me, this has the reverse effect. If you tell someone not to do it,
mm-hmm.
it's like the Kevin Miller rule, then I'm going to do it.
Right. Right.
And dare them to stop us.
Mm-hmm.
And look, we're not encouraging this, but from a business perspective, from a person who studies these companies, these public companies, what do you make of these moves?
They're trying to appease something that isn't even the problem, and that's unfortunate. I enjoyed some of the commentary you had earlier, and I couldn't agree more that this is really just deflecting what the real problem is, and there's something wrong with us as a society that people go off and decide to gun down a bunch of people or run them down or stab them to death, blow them up. Whatever it is, they're going to grab something. But we're blaming the object, and it just makes no sense at all to me. And again, it's just deflection, and it's very unfortunate because I don't think these businesses are reacting correctly. I think they're overreacting, acting like they've just got to do something right now, even if it's not effective. And I think there's a real problem in society when we do things just for show when they have no effect at all. It reminds me of all the political correctness of all the discussions that
sure.
that go on in different places. And our corporate slogan is, you know, we love all people.
But
and they don't.
But they must be doing this to appeal to some people.
To appease them.
But you look at a Walmart customer.
Yeah.
Look, we go to Walmart twice a year
mm-hmm.
for Miller's Mission, Nampa Walmart, Garrity and Franklin. Those are good people.
Mm-hmm.
People at Walmart, they're very loyal. Look at what happened with Dick's Sporting Goods. Their stock took a tank because they decided we're going to ban guns. The criminals aren't buying their guns at Walmart.
No, they're not. That's what the absurdity is, Kevin. The criminals aren't going to hand them in if they want everybody to hand them in. It's absolutely not addressing the problem. Or if people are crazy and they've stockpiled you know weapons and munitions and all these things and are making plans to go to the local school, these people aren't turning in their guns. They're not going to say, well, I guess I can't. I'm not supposed to carry these in the car, so I'm not going to drive over to the Walmart and shoot people. It's insane that we address this in such an absurd way and don't address the problem. Again, it's symptomatic of our society. We just want quick answers. Sure. Oh, well, if they don't sell guns here, then we've done our job, and the world will be safer, and I'm going to pat myself on the back all the way home.
Not only that, but the open carry. Let's go to the phones. A gentleman that you've made up with, Tea Party Bob, the publisher of the Gem State Patriot. Do you have a thought, a call, an opinion for Dave Petzo, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, Petzo?
Well, good morning, Kevin, and good morning, David. Just been thinking about what you've been saying since the beginning of the show. Now, I've got to say that I'm continually amazed by the stupidity of the corporate giants of this country and the morons who run them. When they look at the reaction by companies like Walmart and Dick's Sporting Goods, who have stopped selling guns, ammo, along with the giants like Costco, who have signs basically saying no guns on the premises rule, they've done nothing but make the public have done nothing to make the public safer, and indeed have reduced their earnings by not selling firearms. I mean, I try hard not to frequent any of these stores that don't allow the carrying of firearms. Basically, what they're doing is they're putting my life in danger every time I walk into one of them, and I don't have my constitutional rights. Protect myself. Now, what we need is for a good portion of the gun owners of this country to stop doing business with these companies and restrict our constitutional rights by disallowing them to protect themselves on their premises. Now, Dick's Sporting Goods, they lost, I guess it was 3% the year they stopped selling assault rifles and raised the age to 21 for the purchase of firearms. You know, their sales were down, but they tried to put another reason on it. You know, you can affect these companies if you hit them in the wallet, and they will stop doing this kind of stuff. Now, if the gun owners of America work in solidarity, they could stop the corporations from making these rules and inhibit our rights. But for some reason, we don't seem to act in unison. You know, what the corporations have done is to increase the places where assailants will have an opportunity to kill more people because they know they will not be challenged. You know, they have become the gun-free zones of the corporate world, and you put your life at risk every time you enter one of them because they are now not safe places as far as I'm concerned. I can't protect myself. I don't think it's a safe place. Anyway,
and you're right. You're an open carry guy. I can remember when you and I had a showdown with someone. You just sat there and watched while it could have gone to fisticuffs with your sippy cup while you had your 38 or whatever that was on your side.
You know, you carry a gun for protection.
Yeah.
You don't carry it to threaten people.
I needed you to protect me.
You don't need any protection, Kevin. You're doing just fine the way you are.
I don't know about that.
Everybody knows you're down at the independent shooting range all the time. They think you're an expert marksman.
Well, right. Yes, sir. That's me. Tea Party Bob, thank you for the call.
Thank you, my friend. You have a good day.
You as well. 580-5436-580-KIDO. So, for people that are always worried about their money, money, Dave Petzo, is this the end of the line? And I know you're going to go, oh, the media, this, that, the other. Let me hit you with this one. The recession.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think people are tired of making money. They want to lose some money.
The press wants to make sure that Donald Trump is not reelected as president. And the economy is his biggest plus.
Right.
So I believe that we are going to spend the next year talking about recession as much as possible. And it is possible to talk ourselves into it, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I just think there's no evidence at all of it out there other than the media works for the DNC. and they are going to continue to talk about this. But it's not just them. It's also the fearmongers that sell annuities. It's the fearmongers that sell gold. It's the, because they do. They sell in a fear-based circumstance. For example, we've talked about this a number of times, Kevin, but the, you know, the price of gold when I started in the industry in 1980 was $800. It's $1,500, $1,600, somewhere in that range right now, right? And yet what people will cite is that gold's gone up a lot in the last few months. Okay, that's great and groovy, but it makes no sense on the long term. So when we look at that, or we try to, if you will, justify our fears by buying something that is a fear-based product, it really feeds into that. And it's unfortunate because neither of those things are easy to get out of. A very painful, very expensive to move. And so that's that's the hard part when people get talked into it.
But for the first time, manufacturing is contracting under President Trump. You have this trade war with China. There's a lot of uncertainty, and that's just not fear-mongering. That's the truth.
That is the truth. We also have unemployment.
It's all subjective. What is the truth? You know what I'm saying.
I do. Right. No, that part's true, Kevin, and I think that that's absolutely yesterday's news on the, again, is part of that, you have to understand, is a survey. And when you have a lot of noise, it's not that it's the actual facts. It's what people are anticipating their businesses are going to do. It can be an indicator, but it's also a false indicator. We've had dozen of these during this recovery that have been under 50. Some have been under 40 for their readings, and again, they did not signal a recession at all. So it is something, I'm not saying it isn't a concern. It is a concern, but on the other hand, we're seeing wages at the lowest end rise crazily. Consumers just spent, we just got this news last week, at a crazy level in July. So we're seeing numbers that don't all line up, right? That it's all positive or all negative. So we do have global growth slowing down. The United States is still doing okay. And consumers are still spending crazily. But I am concerned too, Kevin.
Credit's
not saying
at an all-time high, though, too.
What's that?
Credit. People borrowing more.
People are, but we also have the asset base. We're much wealthier. We're in much better position than we were in 08.
That's because of the housing.
The housing.
Right. The housing markets. I mean, the value of your home has gone up, right?
Oh, so is the market. So is everything. The value of everything has gone up.
More in a minute. Dave Petzo, Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. Blessed to be with you. Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Dave Petzo joining us, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial. How long have you been on the station? 35 years, 50 years, 100 years?
Yeah, 30, I think 35-ish years. I'll have to do the math. Closing in on 40.
Was the station music then?
No. It was Sexual Deviance and Freaks. It was, I'm serious. It was what, I don't know if you remember the talk radio before Rush Limbaugh.
No, I'm. Yeah, I'm
you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, right. Yeah, so you know exactly. All they had was
Jesse,
Shrinks on there.
Sally Jesse Raphael. And
yeah,
and
people talking about the, you know, the aliens and all kinds. It was very strange.
But we still have the aliens.
We do. That part of it hasn't, the late night part has not gone away.
No.
But the daytime, you know, as you well know, Rush Limbaugh changed all that by, you know, having a serious thing. And then Sean Hannity and all the others have just been phenomenal. It's a very serious and information-based stuff now. It's really good.
Here's something that's very strange. Talking about this gun issue, you know Ted Cruz is, right?
Ted Cruz, the senator? Yeah.
You know Alyssa Milano?
No.
She's an actress.
Okay.
Very famous actress. So they're going to debate. What do you make of that? I mean, here you have Ted Cruz, smart, one of the smartest guys in the Senate. He's going to debate an actress on gun control. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. It sounds like a made-up, made-for-TV. It sounds like Ali is fighting a WWF guy or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
One of those made-up boxing matches or something that they throw at you once in a while. That's just crazy.
It just shows you just how out of hand it's gotten. More with Dave Petzo next. Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Let's get you to work safely and on time. Good morning, Dave. And thank you, Dave. Back to Dave with Kevin on KIDO Talk Radio. So you wanted to ask a question. You were badgering me during the stimulating, compelling traffic report.
Yeah, I was going to say, how was the Oregon coast?
Wow, the Oregon coast.
Yeah.
Very nice. You know, there's something about that ocean when you go there. But I was very, very concerned in the land of loony libs
Yep.
being there as a conservative, I go in undercover. Of course, I was wearing my Penny shirts, and people go, oh, look, Mr. Penny. And if you haven't seen those, because it's radio, it's just a shirt with a giant penny on because of our fundraiser last year with the Boise Rescue Mission. Mm-hmm. So I go to the Oregon coast. I go there to recharge. I read a book on the history of a television show that failed eventually, highest ratings, and then it failed.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed something that very much concerned me and really decided to, it allowed me to focus on being more strident, more vigilant when it comes to our great state of Idaho. Do you know what that is?
No.
All right.
Pray tell.
Pot shops. Everywhere I went. There was the Pig and the Pancake in Lincoln City. There was Zabo's. There was these other places. And if you've ever been to the Oregon coast, you know what I'm talking about. There are Little Sambo's. That's a place. Little Sambo's. Been around a while. That's the name of the place, Little Sambo's.
Hard to believe.
Why are you looking at me that way?
Well, I thought they got rid of the Sambo's restaurants, but
no. No, that's the original, Little Sambo's.
No kidding.
And it's a tiger now. Not as racially offensive.
Well, true.
It right. Yeah. And they said it was never racially offensive, so and I believe them.
Mm-hmm.
However, back to the point, everywhere I went, there was a, you know, have a toke. Have a toke and a Coke. And what those pot purveyors want to do is bring that smut here to the state of Idaho. Thankfully, your good friend and a person that acknowledges me sometimes, and God bless him, I understand that, the governor, Brad mm-hmm. Little, saying no. Yeah. Kevin Miller and Brad Little teaming up to stop the pot.
That's right.
That's what I learned on my vacation.
That's what you got fired up about.
Right. Now, look, you're a money guy. You're a money guy.
Yeah.
Right. You're like, if you ever watch Billions, you're like Bobby Axelrod. You and Tommy Ahlquist, okay? Got to give a shout out to my boy Tommy, but
okay.
But you're the original. So we have this move towards legitimizing this illegal industry.
Correct.
People are saying, buy some cannabis, have a good time. Okay. Now, if I didn't care about morality and ethics, you could go into adult entertainment. We won't call it pornography, but that's what it is. Smut.
Yep.
You make a lot of money in smut.
Yep.
And now you could make a lot of money in pot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in doing that. I'm not for legalizing gambling, prostitution, or the pot.
Right.
I'm a not traditional. Either. So, but there's a big movement. Senator Crapo, chairman of the banking committee. We talked a little bit about it. They want to let the banks take care of the law-breaking pot purveyors.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're worried about them having too much cash. I say go into a legitimate business. Sorry, that's what I learned on the Oregon coast.
That's what did. Well, Kevin, I think you should. Yes, and there certainly is money in pot. And what we see that on Wall Street is people investing crazily and talking about pot stocks, want to know what the next thing is in cannabis and all those things. Look, if it's some kind of a medicinal miracle, then let's test it the way we test drugs. If no THC, CBD is some kind of miracle thing, then let's prove it is. Instead of telling me that, just like the people in the Old West, right, coming around with their solutions to all the problems in the world. We just never really have this vigorous testing of these things, and I know some people get relief or claim they do, and I think that's great.
Have you seen the number of CBD? Sorry, while you took a breath to jump in here, but have you seen the CBD oil shops popping up around the Treasure Valley now?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And the governor during the debate last time, when he was lieutenant governor, said, "Look, there has to be some type of regulation."
Yep.
And look, I'm sure the CBD people are nice people saying, no, ours is tested. There's no THC in it. Trust me, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, the supplement industry, as you know, is the wild, wild west.
It is. You don't have any idea what's in there, honestly.
Right, which scares the heck out of me. Unless,
or what it will do.
Right.
That's what's crazy about it. I mean, these have real active drugs in them. Oh, it's all natural. Who cares? So is, you know, poison oak is all natural, you know? It really is. It can affect people in ways that you don't know with the drugs you are taking, or your body reacts differently than my body does. That's why I think these things need to be tested, because they have real chemical reactions in you're in the human body, and we act like it's just like all natural and it's all going to be okay. It isn't, and that's why I think we need to have it regulated and tested, and it should be looked at closely. If it's a great thing, then why are we afraid of testing it?
Finally, on another unrelated note, we've been doing a lot of unusual things in this program. You know, we go to schools, we work on the mission, and when people think of talk radio, they go, well, you know, it's for old people. But there doesn't seem to be anybody championing common sense when it comes to tuition and salaries at public colleges, mm-hmm. public universities.
Mm-hmm.
You have the president of Boise State making over $400,000. You have the president of Idaho making over $400,000. Now, like I said, I'm Mr. Pennyworth, but you're the money guy.
Yeah.
That's four times what the mayor of Boise makes, four times what the governor makes. You know, just a little under four times. The mayor makes 140, the governor makes 120 without his housing alliance.
Yep.
Can you tell me, Mr. Private Sector, how you can justify paying a university president over $400,000 when you have kids going broke? By the way, in-state tuition for Boise State, $5,800. Out of state, yes, we are bilking the Californians, over $20,000.
Mm-hmm. And same when we go across the border as well, unless you're in the WUI program.
Well, WUI. So,
yep. You can't justify it. No, you can't.
Making $400,000 in the private sector, making $400,000 as president whomever.
Yeah. And I think that that's when we're talking about public money, we have to do it responsibly. It is hard, Kevin, because you have to have talent at the highest level. And to compare, for example, that it's ridiculous that Sabian makes $8 or $10 million a year, the highest paid public person in all of Alabama. Well,
Sabian, yes.
Yes.
My boy.
Yeah.
Right.
So you end up in a circumstance where then you can start. So it's a slippery slope to compare all of these. You do need the best talent at the highest level. The problem that we end up with is that school isn't working, but we don't change it. What we claim is it needs more money. And when we don't change something that needs changed and throw more money at it, I mean, can you imagine a business that says, you know, this division over here isn't working? And then, so let's allocate more budget to it.
Sure, but
that would be stupid. Nobody would do that.
Nick Saban's the winningest coach in college football. You could justify it because the enrollment has gone up. For a university president, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you've created and started your own company. You have a lot of great people that work with you.
Yeah.
And work hard every day. Mm-hmm. The ROI. But you can't tell me that being a public figurehead
right.
is worth over $400,000 in Idaho.
I would agree with that. I totally agree with you on that. But I also think that you have professors that in name that aren't really in there teaching much. They just are on the roll in multiple institutions
sure.
around the country. The most of their money is made when they go on speaking tours, like The Economist from Chicago University and things like that. But they're being paid by those universities vast sums just to be there, just to say, yes, I'm a professor at this university. The question is, does it really bring more students there? If it does, then they're worth that much. But when we're talking about public education, not producing people outside, and again, not to besmirch the people that are out there working hard as baristas, but you come out with $100,000 in student loans and are serving right. coffee because you wanted to get an education in Egyptian history. This is just ridiculous, and I'm seeing it with the university out here. We love over there by where you do the Walmart thing. Come on.
CWI.
Thank you. And how low the cost is
right.
and how practical it is.
Right.
And they're going in there with body works and all those
right.
things. It's fantastic what they're doing. And they're bringing the cost down. But at the major universities, the costs are still going up and it's a problem.
Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center. Catch him Saturdays 8-10. Money Matters. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, I appreciate you putting up with me being mobile. This is a little family gathering here, and it seems that I've had a couple of those in the past couple weeks, so I appreciate it. But we are enjoying being connected, and I will be here the next hour and a half and would appreciate any of your calls. Our number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. So it's interesting in an up week what we look at. And again, why it's so hard for us to stay focused on what's actually positive. Number one, it is human nature. It is so human nature for us to really be looking for, if you will, the tiger in the jungle, the thing that's going to eat us, the thing that's going to destroy us, even when things are good. And I know that for me or my family, somebody I love, it's just a few more spins of the globe, and something is going to go wrong. Something could be even tragic, because it's not like we're going to get out of life without lots and lots and lots of tragedy. I get that. But we don't go looking for it. But we do. We don't think we go looking for it, but we do. We just continue to look at, yeah, okay, it's kind of an ER look at things, isn't it? It's, yeah, the economy's pretty good. Yeah, but it's not, you know, and I heard about this guy, and he had a hard time getting a job, and it isn't as good for whatever it is you're trying to do. We make it up. It is human nature for most people to be an Eeyore about things. So I guess for me, I look at it, but on top of that, if it's even not your nature or it's just a moderate thing, it's like, well, I just look at the data and I'm just trying to figure things out. I'm not really Eeyore. That's not very nice. Yeah, okay, but maybe not. But it's hard to get away from it. Because even as I'm reading this morning and just kind of seeing some of the headlines from, you know, again, a good week in the market, market's up, we're 3% or less away from all-time highs, but no, we can't have that. And the market's up 20% for the year to date. Oh, my gosh, that's just, but disaster. And if you read the headlines every single week all year, we're just a fraction of an inch from a disaster all the time, but we're up 20%. Then the jobs data, you know, is not as good as expected. But what about the ADP report the day before, which measures the private sector, by most economists' belief, much more accurately? It had the best numbers in, like, years. It was a crazy good report. Or was it the month before that was really, really good? Or was it the 3 months before that was really bad? We hang on one data point to make the point of things are good or things are really bad. But right now we're in a world where things are really bad. It's just maybe this one report that was over here that was just an outlier. It's really bad. It's really, really bad. And we have this outlier report that says it's not bad at all. And that's kind of crazy. But it is what we're reading into the numbers. And when you have a press, yeah, I know, I'm not here just to tell you how negative the press is, you know. But again, I'm reading this morning, and it's like, oh, Powell, this is where we were 12 months ago. The market was about to crash, and we did have a really rough third quarter and then a great first quarter. So you can miss it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how you time that. Nobody did. But let's pretend that you will next time, because you'll recognize it, and you're a trading genius. It's not something you can recognize. But everybody was playing the guessing game of the recession, the coming recession, the certainty of a recession, the wish of a recession. If we could only get rid of Trump somehow, if the market would just tip over, if the whole economy would just die, we could get this guy out, and we could have socialism reign everywhere across the country. Incredible, but true. And a media that's complicit in that. More than complicit, active. Active in it. Trying hard to get the negative message out. And yes, negativity sells. And yes, this is where I now roll into and say, yes, the purveyors of gold. Yes, the purveyors, the equity indexed annuity pimps. Those folks just think everybody needs to be in an equity indexed annuity. Because the market is a giant casino and you don't really want to play. You don't want to risk your blah, 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 blah. And then again, it doesn't work. Guaranteed not to work. Won't lose money, but guaranteed not to work. Now, with gold, you could clearly lose money. But both are sold on fear. Many things are. You know, you should probably put your money in our bank. Our six-month CD is paying 1%. Okay. But it's safe. Safe from what? Safe from what? you just want to ask that message. You know, it's like, this is safe from what? Safe from growth. I get that. Okay, it can't grow. Safe from keeping up with inflation. It's safe from that. It will not keep up with inflation. That's a safe and secure investment. If we define it only by one criteria and one criteria only, price movement. This is all I define risk as, price movement. It's not really that I won't have enough money to do the things I want to do all the days of the rest of my life. No, that's not risk. It's only price. That's great. That's really smart. Because what we want to do is we want to define things so simplistic and so absurd that have nothing to do with my goal. Why? Crazy. Totally crazy. We don't want to do that. Of course we don't want to do that. But we do. And it's not that we all are a bunch of Eeyores, but we are. Maybe that's an exaggeration of not an extraordinarily low number of people, but it's not all of us. But we are wired to fear the tiger in the jungle, and we do look for things that will hurt us. But it isn't financial. We live in the most abundant time ever, and living that way doesn't see the world clearly. Living in the way of fear doesn't see the world clearly. Oh, it's not. I don't know. It could be all taken away. Of course it could be all taken away. That's never changed. But what has changed through all of history is that we continually progress, meaning living better and better lives as a world. This is a simple fact. But if we bury ourselves in an Eeyore attitude, if you will, or allow the world to push that view, we accept it. It's up to you to accept it or to reject it. If we accept that view, it permeates everything. It stops us from investing in buying a business, being afraid. No, I better just stay in this job that I know, even though you don't like it. In a near zero unemployment situation? Why? Now would be the time to attack. Why? Because we feel all of the negativity that the press throws, that the Democrats throw. And yes, it is. The press is the DNC. I get it. It's all the same. But we can look beyond that. But when we look to the Fed to be our savior, like I was reading this morning, I mean, you can't read anything positive, even in an up week. It's absolutely crazy how negative it is. And we have to think through that. But when we think that it's all about the interest rates and the Fed, and really we're just going to tip over any second now, how can you be positive? But that narrative is just not true. The economy is growing because you and I and our business, we're spending money. We're growing. And the economy is growing because of lower regulation, lower taxes, like it always has. Not because the Fed dropped it a quarter of a point. In fact, I would argue that that is absolutely moronic. That at near zero interest rates with $17 trillion now, I know, last week I said 15. Wrong. New data. 17 trillion of negative interest rates in the world. That a quarter of a point? Oh, that now it'll boom because now people can afford houses. My rear end. Nobody can afford a house today that couldn't afford it yesterday. No business could borrow money today that couldn't yesterday. Nothing to do with it, but the narrative is it's all up on the Fed. Not that the economy is really growing. That's all a veiled, hidden thing. It's not really growing. It's really bad. Really, really bad. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, love your calls and love your emails. It's Dave@petsofinancial.net, and we'll be right back. Hello and welcome Thank you so much for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Goodness gracious. Al, thanks for hanging on. You go ahead, please.
Yes. Have you ever heard the name Odor Acer? Odor Acer. Okay, about 476. Yeah, Odor Acer. Yeah, 476 AD, I think, something like that. That was the end of the Roman mm-hmm. Empire. Okay, from that point on, we were in the Dark Ages. Okay, so things can get negative and negative quickly. So what we need to do is just use logic and reason and try and evaluate our circumstances and situations, not based on emotions or things of that nature, but based on logic and reason. You know, we can look at the normalcy bias, for instance, okay, in Germany. Okay, the Jewish people said, hey, wow, the Germans are great. We've lived here for 500 years. No problems here. Everything's great. Yeah. Just one big problem, Hitler. So we are all actuaries. Right. We are all our own actuaries. So what we have to do is honestly look at the circumstances of the situation. And today what we see is that debt, okay, has never in all of human history, now those who are into statistics realize what I'm saying, never in all of human history have you had debt that is this out of control. That has all – debt out of control has always turned into something ugly. Now, you know, we can sit here and say, oh, everything's great, everything's beautiful, but the reality is – I think what we're going to have is a reckoning because nothing is free. You can't just print money. You can't just have politicians. You can't have politicians telling everybody that they can have all the freebies. Okay. You know, a nation that is ignorant and free is a state that never has been and never will be. And that comes from Thomas Jefferson, the great Thomas Jefferson, a state that is ignorant and free. So we need to read our history. We need to understand history. Unfortunately, we don't. And our education system has basically failed us. And our political system has also failed us. So what I would say is this. Open the books. Open the text. Start reading F.A. Hayek, okay, The Road to Serfdom. Read what socialism is really all about. Okay, and that is what we really need to look at, is that socialism is actually destroying this country by creating all of this debt, all of these unbelievable fiduciary media that will never be paid off. And so, you know, sorry to rain on your parade there, buddy, but, you know, that's what I believe. And I think people ought to open their books and read about this.
Yeah, I don't think it's raining on my parade at all. I've stated and will continue to state that I think that the biggest danger we have is political danger, the idea that we can have free education and free whatever, everybody gets a salary. I think that that is absurd. And I do think socialism has proved itself to be a very poor path to run down. But Al, I don't. I think that we are in a very, very abundant time. I don't think that getting into debt, that's always been a problem to me. I think that that's a problem that can be resolved if we just move the dial. It's not like we have to move to a surplus and hurry up and pay this off. If we start moving the dial just a little bit, in other words, government spending does not increase as much, two things happen. Obviously, the tax revenue continues to increase as it has through every, you know, through all of history. And then we will not be continuing to deficit spend before very long. And then obviously it just keeps getting better. So we just have to turn the dial a little bit, number one. But number two, by having the government take just a little less, the economy actually accelerates. It always does, because the government is a taker and a destroyer of growth, always in all ways. I'm not saying that the government can't have reasonable functions, but to argue that the government is a good source of economic growth is absurd. History says absolutely not. And of course, common sense says, are you kidding me? That's absurd to think you're going to take money from productive private sector, give it to the government bureaucrats, and multiply it. It's going to shrink every time. So I do think that the greatest danger, and I will continue to say that as we get closer to the next election, is that one of these socialist nut jobs gets in, because I do think that that could spell a really big problem for our country. Not that it's the end of the country. Maybe it is. I don't know. But to sit around and proclaim that the economy is now heading into recession, that's what I'm speaking to, is all these economists for the last 10 years that have continued to call six of the last zero recessions. And when they finally get one right, they're not right. They've been wrong for thousands of points, just like the market has continued to give us positive developments over the past, well, basically our whole life. That's what I'm arguing. I'm not going to argue that debt's a good thing, and don't worry, just everybody grab hands and sing Kumbaya and we can all get along with socialism. So I don't disagree with you at all. Okay. Well, I guess we're all done with Al. Al, thank you. Hey, Jim, I'll tell you what. Why don't you hang on till the beginning of the next hour, because I just don't want to have no time with you, okay? Yeah, because we're going to be running out of time here. So let's go ahead and have you hang on, if you would, please. We've only got about a minute and a half left here in this hour. So one of the things I want to point out here, speaking of debt, Al brings up a great point of too much debt. And we have never had this much debt, that's for sure. We've had more debt as a percentage of GDP, so I'm very hopeful that we will be able to unwind this over time. But when we talk about how cheap debt is, at 3% levels for corporate debt and less, why wouldn't corporations take advantage of that? Get this. Apple just issued debt. Deer just issued debt. I believe it was Disney also issued debt for 30 years at 3% and less. 30-year debt at 3%. That's just crazy. Absolutely crazy. We're practically, even in this country, when we consider inflation, we are paying people to take our money, to hold our money. Now, how different is that from anything we've ever faced? It's incredible when you think about that. The negative interest rates of $17 trillion globally. That's a whole lot of money that says, I just will pay you to keep my money, in some cases, for many, many, many years. That's crazy. Just simply crazy. And I don't like that either. There's lots of things out there not to like. But what I do like is corporate profitability, lower taxes, less regulation. This economy is growing. Don't dismiss it. It really is working. All right. We've got to take a quick break for Fox News. We'll talk to you in the next hour. Jim, hang on. We'll get with you next. Hello and welcome to hour number two of Money Matters. And, of course, these are my opinions only. They are not, of course, to buy and sell. In fact, we think that's beyond silly. We think you should buy great corporations, great companies, and believe in the future of business. That's all it is. Not the greatest future ever. Not oh, it's so incredibly abundant. You have to buy into that. Not at all. Not at all. Just that it keeps going. That's all. And it certainly has been a complete wreck for generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. As Al pointed out, clear back to the Dark Ages, to have made that bet. Ah, now that the world has a billion people, they're all going to starve to death. 2 billion. Make it 3. Make it 7. And we throw food away. Crazy, isn't it? So anyway, as we are making these decisions of moving forward, do we decide that the thing to do is to bail? Crazy. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phones, though. Very, very patient caller. Jim, how are you today?
Hello there.
Hey there, you are. How are you, sir?
I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm very well. And thank you for holding on.
That's okay. Yeah, I figured I'd give you my weekly, I don't know, shot of something. I wanted to give
That's
you
right.
an update on dicks, controversial dicks. You know, out of protest, when this happened back last year in March, I bought 100 shares of Dick's Sporting Goods, and currently in a little less than a year and a half, they're up 14.1%, and they're paying 3.35% dividend, which probably don't come from firearms, I don't know, but, you know. Anyway, you know, the only thing I was going to say, I guess, was, and you talk about noise, you know, the human brain can come up with all sorts of weird things to think about. You know, problems, some are important, some are not. Some are national in origin, some are personal. But for instance, I'll give you a, you know, I mean, you've heard of the Scopes monkey trial, right?
The back, what?
The Scopes monkey trial back in the 20s.
Oh, I have heard of that, but I can't remember. I've just heard the name.
It had to do with evolution versus creation, which I think is one of the biggest, you know, wastes of time ever. So anyway, I was listening to this this talk show the other day. Some guy called in having to do with, you know, what's being taught in school, and he got on to evolution versus creation. So I called in. And I put it simply, I said, I believe in God. I believe in evolution. God created evolution. What's the problem? Much ado about nothing. Really? You know, people can get their panties all in a wad worrying about something that is absolutely irrelevant to the scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. They can. I don't know. I suppose there's some advantage to be having some intellectual pursuit, but you're right. It's something that has been debated for centuries, and I don't think it's going to stop now, and it really has nothing to do with anything.
Well, you know, the Good thing point. Is, too, you know, I mean, we talk about economics and this, that, and the other, but, I mean, you got to go with your own experience. You know, like they said, they've taken polls, and that people generally think that they are individually well off, but they think their neighbor is having problems.
Correct.
You know, and that gives the, all of a sudden, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, but I'm doing pretty good.
Correct. It is interesting because you do have that's really something, too. You bring up a really important point economically, that people feel like their job security is good. But overall, it's not good for other people. It's very interesting, and when you think about that, I my circumstances are fine. I am really optimistic about my retirement, but I'm so pessimistic about the rest of the world. And I think it goes right back to, I'm sure there's certain things where the reality of your life does strike you that it's pretty good, or it's not so good, right? But for most people, it's pretty darn good. Almost everybody, it's pretty good. So the reality is in your face, no matter what you're reading. But everything we read about is the statistics showing nobody's ready for retirement. They're coming doom and gloom of the retirement, this generation, all that stuff. Nobody has enough money in their 401k. It just goes on and on and on and on about how ill-prepared for retirement people are, how millennials won't invest money. Millennials are the disaster coming. I don't think any of that's true. I think it's maybe taking millennials longer to grow up, because we coddle children like we never have before, and they can't grow up. And so maybe it takes them till age 30 before they figure out anything about life. But that's not true of all of them. And it's not true of any generation to throw them all in the same bucket. But that's what we read. So we worry so much about others, even as we see our millennial children kicking tail and taking names. It's just one of those things that I think we often do, is that we read things as if it's a foregone conclusion that that's all true, and so everybody out there is miserable and has a problem. Again, I don't know the psychological part of that, but it certainly pervades itself in everything. I'm healthy, but the Americans aren't, right? I mean, it's that whole attitude of I've got it going on.
I mean, luckily I'm healthy. And you know what's interesting is I'm 73 years old. And I, you know, I feel like I'm kind of a 23-year-old, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
I don't, you know, I mean, it's great, but I don't know. I'm lucky. I'm not on any drugs. I mean, that's another thing. In this country, and, you know, drug companies and everything, it's kind of like you're weird if you're not on drugs. So.
Yeah, well, there is that. I mean, there's no doubt that the drugs have saved a lot of lives, and at the same time, I think we've become very dependent in many cases, too dependent.
Well, you know, it's like everything else. If you use things the way it's supposed to be used, you know, a handicapped parking place, you know, I mean, if you need to use something, fine, but don't do it just out of convenience because it's there, you know.
Well, and I think also that has a really slippery slope to it, too, because if you're always looking for a handicapped parking place and don't deserve it, then why would you ever get off your couch? I mean, if that's what you're always doing is making sure that you don't have to walk an extra, or a flight of stairs or whatever.
Interesting you bring that up. That's exactly what's happening. Now we've got the likes of McDonald's or Walmart making home deliveries. God forbid we should walk out the front door. So, I mean, really, Dave, this is due to technology gone mad.
Yep, it is. Well, it's technology gone mad, maybe not. It's also people that just that are just happy to stay in their own place and binge on Netflix or play video games.
Well,
they'll
get on their internet. And they'll pollute their mind with, you know, they won't have any social contact. I mean, this is a problem, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway,
right,
we'll have a great week. And if you were ever wondering how Jimbo's doing just fine.
I am very happy to hear that. You keep doing well, Jim.
My portfolio is rising nicely, and I'm not in debt. I've got cash. I'm accumulating cash for the next big, as they say, when the market goes on sale. So,
exactly. Well, let's hope it's not because we have a socialist president. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and maybe this is since the first president. I mean, you don't really think of it like that, you know. You think of the economy as the economy, and then politics as politics. But then, when politics tries to adjust the economy for politics' sake, we've got a problem.
Yep, we do. That's exactly right. This is different. This is truly different. So this is as clear as it gets in my mind. I know he won't shut up. I get it. I totally get it. But we have got a circumstance here that's clear cut. Individual freedom, individual economic freedom, or the inevitable tyranny of socialism. It really throw the word tyranny out. When has socialism ever worked one time? It doesn't, and it always has the potential of leading to, you know, the Nazi Party was a socialist party, right? They all are socialist workers. It can always lead to fascism and communism, and most of the time it does.
Well, like
and
they say,
it's frightening.
If Adolf Hitler had been assassinated in 37 or 38, he'd have gone down as a hero, you know. I mean, he did a lot of good stuff for Germany, but there was a hook in that worm, so to speak.
Well, I don't know what good he did for Germany, pal.
Well, I mean, he brought them economically and created the highways and et cetera.
Well,
I mean,
yes,
after the Great Depression and everything. And inflation, where billions of marks and all that?
Well, part of that didn't just end with him. I mean, that was Germany was coming along. It wasn't just him. He didn't stop the 100,000% inflation that had occurred prior, at least. It wasn't like he came riding in on a white horse and rebuilt the entire economy.
But if there hadn't been a Depression, there wouldn't have been a Hitler, because I mean, Hitler supposedly wasn't doing very well until the Depression hit, and then all of a sudden, you know,
I know, and also in World War One and all those things. It's complicated. Yep. But there's no doubt life is complicated. All right. Got to roll, Jim. Thank you. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It started off talking about all the negativity, of course, of the you know, the constant talk and how we're going to fall. This is the same time as last year. Every headline is negative. We talk about that a lot, but it's really important to put that out in front of us, to not evaluate every death sentence to the U.S. economy as a fact, because it's most of the time wrong, almost always wrong, almost always wrong. Huh. Isn't that a different way of seeing it? When you hear, you know, this strategist, this economist, and go, almost always he's wrong. Almost always she's wrong. Why? And why do we, if you see it differently, then you can stop and you can go, oh, that's interesting. Or, and then when you find that people have been consistent, what is it that's consistently correct? And I don't mean every time correct. If you have an expectation of that, or you actually click on some idiotic website, this is the guy that called, this is the guy that called two less recessions. Okay. If you're going to do that, bye-bye. Bye-bye to any possible long-term perspective, other than the world is coming to an end. So as we talk about this, it's very important to put it in that context, because it's so easy to say, oh, jobs report was bad. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, it wasn't bad. The ADP report, forget about that. That was on Thursday. Ooh, ancient history. Here's one data point, and it's negative, or it's positive, whatever the case I'm trying to make. Instead of saying, what is the trend over the last year? What's the trend over the last 6 months? What are we going to do with the data point last week that was the greatest disaster ever, right? Here it is. It shows that we're in recession. 1 week later, then we come out with the services industry survey. Crickets. You heard crickets. Why? Because it didn't fit the narrative that we're heading into recession. As a matter of fact, it fit the narrative that this is the greatest time ever. Well, we can't talk about that. That would be favorable to Trump. That's horrifying. We got to, no, we don't talk about that. It's just this weird off-liar survey. We want to take one data point and make our case. Don't do that. We can never do that. If jobs are growing by more than 100,000 a month, and they are, in a near zero employment environment, that's good. 3.7% unemployment, yeah, it's tough out there. I mean, we just need to look. That's all. All right, we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'd love your calls or emails. You've got our number, but the email is dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. Sure, appreciate you all who have called in and emailed. And right now, we've got a call from Alan. Alan in Ada County. Yes. How's it going,
yes,
Alan?
Yes, sir. I'm doing well, Dave.
Yes,
how are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you.
Wonderful.
How can I help you?
So, yeah, I've got a question. So I'm actually in prison, of all places, and you reach a lot of people.
Okay.
I just wanted to first say thank you. Your show is so informative. You and I don't remember the guy's name, the talk show host in the morning you kind of tag along with.
Kevin Miller. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys both just have such a good perspective, and just know I do my best to have Fox News on the TV in here, and just from the mountaintop shout to people, especially the younger guys, that socialism is the worst thing ever, and capitalism
mm-hmm.
is the only way.
All right.
I have a question. What am I able to possibly do through the U.S. mail? When I was younger, I had a Roth IRA, and I actually cashed it out, paid the penalty years ago. Now I don't really have anything. I want to know what I would be able to do in setting up my future investing strategy as far as that, as far as I'll be getting out early next year, and I just want to get a head start. And you really kind of piqued my interest this morning. So
good. Well, good for you to be thinking forward. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm every day, man. So you're going backwards.
Don't go backwards. That's right. Good for you. You keep listening to positive messages, and obviously that'll help. But listen, when you're talking about something that's as short-term as you are coming out and you're going to be out and going and you need to get a little nest egg to help you get a place and so on and so forth, this is what savings is for. It's not time to invest yet. Not yet.
Okay.
So what you want to do is just go ahead and save it. I know you're not going to earn anything, but save everything you can. Build it up.
Okay.
And then once you get out, we're talking about, what, 6 months, 7 months, right? Is that what you said earlier?
A little, yeah, 5-6 months.
Okay. So it's such a short term. I mean, I know it feels like forever. I'm sure it does. But it isn't from an investment perspective.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So just go ahead and just be focused on saving as much as you can, what you're going to be doing, educating yourself, whatever classes you can take. So you're ready. That's obviously the best education, is to get out and be prepared to go join the positive movement forward, the people that are out there working and growing and having families and things like that, moving away from a lifestyle that isn't that and moving into that. So I would set up everything you could, meaning get yourself a chunk of money so you have money, so you don't have the pull to go back and try to find, quotes, easy money, which is not the easy answer. And get your education. Right now, it's not time to invest. As soon as you get on the ground, you start getting paychecks, then you do. Then give us a call, and we'll be ready to, or anybody, give somebody a call and start rebuilding your Roth IRA and get yourself on track. But not today. Right now, it's savings, so you get a nest egg, and then you're ready to roll.
Hey, that's really good advice. I really appreciate it, and keep up the good work.
We appreciate you calling, Alan. So hang in there. Keep listening. All right?
Yes, sir. Hey, God bless you guys, and you have a great day.
You do the same. Take care. Right. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. All right, let's go to an email, okay? Now, this is pretty long, so I may have to wait. But, hey, Michael, thank you for this thoughtful email. Seriously. All right. How much of the market returns over the last several years are based on secular moves? It seems as though half of my individual stock holdings are trading below their 52-week average, and those stocks are spread out over several sectors. A very important point. When I look at the top stocks within the S&P, some of them seem to have some pretty high valuations, at least based on their past. I don't mind holdings that are dragging along when I add money. I have around a dozen stocks that are growing earnings and dividends every year, and that seems to be at a nice discount. But it is also a bit aggravating to see some of the largest and expensive stocks still moving higher while my holdings are plodding along. Easier to grow the investment income that I am after, but I really want to kick some of my holdings in the rear so they get with the program. Despite earnings and dividends growing, they just plod along like a stubborn mule. Is this due to the huge push of investors into index funds and the larger constituents keep on getting more and more demand? Or am I seeing what is actually going on out there? Thanks. Michael, what an incredible question. And the reason I'm probably going to have to answer this in the next segment is because it really entails a whole lot of different questions. But I'm going to start with it like this. And then if we want to dive into it more, I think we'll do that. But what we're really looking at, too, is we do have a secular change, okay? And that is some of these technology companies are commanding bigger and bigger and bigger profits. So when we say valuations, what I'm really kind of making the difference here on valuations is this. I don't look at that and say Google is trading at too high a valuation because to their earnings, they're not. Apple's not too high at all. It's, in fact, very, very cheap stock because everybody keeps betting that the next turn they're not going to have the better iPhone and blah, blah, blah. It just goes on and on, the monotony of how Apple isn't going to work. So as we look at that, we are seeing a difference. And then also when the S&P reconfigures itself, as you know, and you can look at
fourth quarter of last year, and then year-to-date this year is a perfect analysis of that. We saw when people sold, and people do sell into a downturn. I know we're just way above that, the emotions of, oh, my gosh, I got to get out. But they did. And what we saw was these bigger stocks actually fall further in the fourth quarter. They did. We saw valuations of Amazon, Netflix, Priceline, all of these others that really collapsed. And you're seeing Netflix, for example, what was it, 450 is like trading around 300 now. That's a huge drop. And so it's not even recovered. So many of those stocks have not recovered. And I think that's a really good point that when we're talking about maybe getting back into a more normal, slower growth period, we really could see those valuations change. But it is a secular change. Do I want to be out there owning the Procter & Gambles of the world? No, I really don't. Those consumer stocks, to me, when we're talking about valuations, bringing back those valuations, how fast are their earnings growing? They're just not right now. So that doesn't look to me like, and they haven't for 10 years. So when we're looking at that, at a very slow growth environment, when you go back to Peter Lynch's PEG ratio, price to earnings growth rate, right? It's not just the PE of a stock at 20, but if it's only growing 2%, that is a super high PEG ratio. If you buy something that's at 30, but it's growing 20, 25% a year, that's a much cheaper stock. Not more expensive. So we have to evaluate how these companies are growing, and they are. Do I think that there's potential for the Googles and the others to have some problems with the FTC and the antitrust? Absolutely. I really do. I think that could be a problem and may slow down their growth rate. So watch. But right now, they are dominant. So two points that you make are true, and that is we are seeing this separation where there's secular differences. Absolutely true. And second of all, because growth has won on every measurement, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, 15 year, growth has beaten value consistently. And as you grew up in the same era that I did, we're seeing where value and the value managers, Michael Price's, Peter Lynch's, John Templeton's, and on, value investors always won. Now growth investors are and have forever. Do we have to see value differently? I believe so. I hope that you're growing. I know we struggle with it, but we're trying to grow and change and say value, growth can be value. Growth is value. If you're looking at the dominant companies out there, where are they going? It doesn't mean you have to go buy the pot stocks. Don't do that. But owning the Googles and the Amazons until further notice, not meaning a correction, further notice, not trying to guess the top, these companies dominate. And that's an important point. So thank you for your email. All right, we got to take a quick break for Fox News. And I know that there's so much more in that email. Thank you, Michael. It's just great. Email me back with any other follow-up comments or questions. Would love to hear from you. Now we're at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We will be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. Thank you again for joining us. Let's jump on the phones, okay? Let's go to Cliff in Mountain Home. Cliff, thank you for holding.
Oh, thank you. The reason why I was calling, because, you know, I'm 15 years from retirement, and I got a 401k, and I don't mind a little recession here or there because I want the stock options in my 401k. I don't mind them getting a discount sale. Going to a discount sale and buying so that I have a larger base to grow when we have those periods of growth after a recession. As long as I'm working and I'm able to contribute, I've got some compound interest going on here because not only are the amount of shares that I'm getting growing, but I have an employer contributing to it, and I'm buying more. So if I'm getting shares at a discount in my 401k, I'm perfectly good with that. Because I'm going to be counting on that 15 years from now.
Cliff, you get it. That is so true. I just wish that people wouldn't be focusing on what they focus on, which is crazy, which is, you know, my $400,000 went down to $300,000 instead of saying, who cares? I now have a 25% discount on all the money I'm putting in and buying, all the dividends that are coming in from my portfolio and being reinvested, all the more shares. So I have 25% more shares on every purchase I make. Why is that bad? Whoever has the most shares when you're, you know, retiring is, wins, because each share is paying its dividends. It's not how much money you have. It's what that's going to generate that counts. And that's where people miss it. So you got it. You absolutely got it. You nailed it. That's exactly the right attitude. But unfortunately, I wish that you could bottle that up and sell it to everybody, because that's the correct attitude. Cliff, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate your call and your perspective. It's very, very, it's totally right on. Thank you, sir. And let's go to Catherine in Meridian. Catherine, are you there? Thank you for waiting.
Hi, I'm here.
Okay. Good, good. Thanks for waiting. Appreciate
it. Yeah, you're welcome. The quick question I have, I'm retired, and I have a 401k that is still with the employer I was with before I retired, but I also have a Roth. And the 401k I have in a targeted date fund, 2015.
Okay.
And because I like the idea that it gets more conservative as I get older. But I have some Roth money that's not invested, and I'm wondering, is it smart?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be smart for me to put that Roth into, say, a 2025 or 2030 target date fund? I've read that's not a good idea, but...
No. And number one, no. Now, first of all, I want you to... it's okay to read things, but most of the time they're so brief, they get no... there's no real education there. It's just I imagine you're reading AARP and they're going to teach you how to invest. But that's
right.
What happens. You know, people read these little articles in different places. And so number one, I'm not saying that it's wrong. Okay. So don't get me wrong. You're putting money away. All good. You've now conquered the most important part. Okay. And that's putting money in investments and leaving it alone. But here's what the problem with target date funds is. You are targeting as if the delivery of money needs to be made on that date. And it's not. You're not delivering money that you're now going to put under your mattress. It's a change point for you in retirement. So I appreciate what you're saying about becoming more conservative as you get closer to retirement. But retirement now is looking like it's going to be a 30-year process of taking money out. If you're not continuing to invest, you're going to run out of money before you run out of life. And so I want you to reassess that thought. And I get the target date is a really good way of looking at it. And if you're going to use that, go longer term. Okay, so if you're planning to retire, I'm making this up, in 2030, you need to be out till 2040 or 50.
Okay, well, I am
because
retired.
It'll keep are retired.
Oh, I am retired. Yeah, I'm 70.
Oh, okay.
But I have longevity in my family. So the reason I was looking at this, and I'm just telling you the reason. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that my thought was I had it in 2015 while I was working, and so I'm looking at the 2015 more as preservation, and then I was saying, well, then I'll put Roth money further down the road, so it's greater risk, so I get a greater return on that money. So I thought, well, maybe that covers me both ways. So, you know.
Here's the problem I have with the target date solution versus you doing something more conservatively but in an equity income situation, and I'll explain that in a moment.
Okay.
What the target date does is it's buying bonds. That's what it does. It isn't looking for income-producing stocks or growth of your income that would keep up with inflation. If anything, you're putting a massive amount of your portfolio into something that promises it's going to lose to inflation. I mean a lot of it. So if we go with a shorter term target date, because we want to be conservative, call it 2020 or 2025, even 2030, we're saying I want a large proportion of this portfolio in bonds, and we know where bonds are right now. The 10-year treasury is 1.5%.
Right.
That's below the inflation rate. So you're locking in huge percentages of your portfolio at below and then expecting stocks to do okay. What I'd rather see us do is focus on trying to buy the types of stocks that aren't as volatile to maybe allow you to sleep well at night. And that's what equity income is. These are dividend-paying stocks that have are looking to raise their income. Believe it or not, they might be buying stocks like Apple. Why? Because it crazily raises its dividend every year. And that's if we think of Apple instead of as a
$200 stock that may go to 175, it may go to 250, and that's the way it is. And all you hear about is, because it's the biggest company out there, right? All you hear about is the iPhone sales are up or down or whatever. It's just, should I trade it? The answer is no. If you own it, you've been getting a consistently increasing by more than 10% income every year.
Right.
Now, that's not bad. And that's what we're really, that's what equity income is doing, is trying to grow that income over time and produce income that's more than the current 10-year treasury. And if you're in those kind of stocks, and if you can not just look at price, but look at value, right?
Right.
Look at what you're getting. Is the income going up every year? If the answer is yes, why would you want to sell that building? Why would you want to sell that stock? Why would you worry about what the price is if you are receiving more income? So if you just want to actually even receive more income, let alone reinvest it in your portfolio, then you could live better today and knowing that the future looks like, and all of history says it is, going to pay you even more if you can keep your eyeballs off of the price level.
Right.
Then you can watch your income go up all the days of the rest of your life, and you can enjoy it.
Right.
And then also leave a legacy.
Well, yeah, and I'm not a trader. I'm an investor. I mean, I've bought
right.
things, and I almost never sell anything. Well, here's the deal. I basically live off of Social Security, and I suppose I should start taking some money out of my investments. But, you know, like I said, I have longevity in my family, so I'm looking at maybe 30 years.
Yeah,
and I don't
exactly.
need it. You
yeah.
know, I don't need it. I'm going to be forced to take it out in the RMD come this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just going to turn around and reinvest it. I'm not going to spend
it. And part
it.
Of that's okay, but why not structure it so you can enjoy a few things, even small things. I'm not saying that you know, for example, these are things that can really bring, and I'm just living other people's lives. I'm telling you what other people have done as well as maybe some of the things that I've done. But what I'm trying to say is it as simple as now, if you're only living on Social Security, maybe you can take a friend to lunch, take a daughter, grandchild. You can do a few things or you can find somebody to, you know, buy a meal for or to take out, you know, or give something to, even if you won't spend it on yourself. But what I'm trying to get at, I'm not trying to change you and turn you into some kind of crazy spender, but what I'm saying is you can safely take some income and not run out if you're only taking the income the portfolio generates, particularly if you're focused on growth of income. And then that way it'll stay ahead of inflation so that 10 years from now, and also one other thing, I don't want to forget this. You need to be looking at taking money out of your IRA and converting it to a Roth because you've got to be in a zero tax bracket if you're living off of Social Security.
Yeah,
okay?
Need to. Right. And
you should
I,
be transitioning that to a Roth. Yeah.
That little by little I am. I don't want to do it all one
Good.
Big chunk because that'll really throw me into a higher tax bracket.
Correct. Then keep doing it. You're doing it. That's great. That's a good point. Okay, good.
I did last
I'm glad you're
year.
On that.
Yeah, I did last year.
Good.
And then I'm going to do it this year. Of course, I have to take my RMD, and then I can convert some of it over to a Roth to keep my taxes really low. So basically what we're
good.
Saying is, then, is it's not really a good – I'm never – not crazy about bonds anyway, but it's better to, like, have dividend stocks. Like, I've been looking at some ETFs that are basically – dividend focused.
Yes.
So
yes.
In other
be careful
words,
in that universe, but you're looking in the right place. Okay. Be
okay.
careful there. You don't want just high dividend payers that
right.
aren't growing. Okay. Be very careful buying a dividend. Okay. So just understand if it's very high or seems high, there's problems. And if you can't define it, don't do it. Okay.
Okay. All right. All righty. Well,
okay.
Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you for your call. It was a great one. I love it. I love that discussion of the target date funds and growth of income. All right. Thank you so much. Catherine, have a great day. Our number is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. It's time for a break, our final break, and we'll have plenty of time to take your calls after this. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Final segment upcoming. We've got plenty of time if you want to ring up. 580-KIDO. You know, it's interesting. You know, we kind of started today's program talking about
as we often do, how negative things are. But the data points that have been coming out talking about the economy, it's important to again reiterate, are they negative? Are we going into a recession? All this talk is constantly trying to talk us into a recession. There is no recession, no sign of a recession, period. That, if you want to make up data points that go all over the place, a week ago, the market took a big tumble. And so we look around and put our finger in the wind and go, oh, the wind's blowing that way. That's the answer right over there. We're going into a recession because of manufacturing index, which is a survey, by the way. Now, if you're a manufacturing person and there's all the constant talk of the trade war and the economy slowing, and it's just constant, what are you going to say in a survey? That you're confident or you're a little uncertain? It's a survey. Survey says, I'm not very confident right now. I think that's an honest answer. It's an honest report. Now, if you're in a service business and you can't even find enough people to take care of all the customers, I think your survey says things are pretty good. In other words, even though the whole world's telling you it's not good, your world says, yeah, it's pretty good. It's so good, I don't have time for all the other things in my life right now because it's that good. And you see no end in sight. That's the difference of the reality and also the people that live in, quotes, the Beltway and live inside the bubble of New York. I talked about this a little while ago. A couple months of something that one of those things that of our segment that we do from time to time of what are we thinking about right now, right? What are we knocking around? What's kicking around in our brains as we try to sit there and not define the future, not divine what's going to happen in the market, not at all. Just things that puzzle us. And maybe part of that is so that we have some concept of what's going on and what might be we should be leaning towards, right? But this is the reason, as you come back, why would we be doing that? Because we don't want to be stuck, right? Where value is going to turn around any day now. Well, we've been saying that for 15 years. You can't be wrong for 15 years. You have to learn from that. Is there a different way of looking at value than a traditional price-to-earnings ratio? Of course there is. There's all kinds of ways to look at it. That's why value managers, some of them, bought a crazy stock like Amazon hundreds of points ago. Because you do want to shift. Now, as we look at this and we see so many negative points coming at us all the time, how do we move away from that? And do this. You see, money's been coming out of the market by the billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. Virtually month after month, year after year, as the market has moved up 400%. So we do have to ask ourselves, as on top of that, as the alternatives to investing in the market have gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. In other words, as interest rates have gone down and the alternative to stocks being in bonds is dismal. So I want to get out of something that's been doing really good and get into something that gets worse and worse. Why? I mean, we have to ask ourselves, why and what's going on? What's the matter with people?
I mean, seriously, what is the matter with people that for the first time in history, as something is really working, as we know from history, it really works all the time in the long run, always works in the long run. What's the matter with people that they actually pull money out and put it into an investment that has no chance of working? I mean, literally has no chance of working. I mean, the question is, has to be asked, what's wrong with us? Why are we doing that? And so these are the questions that I'm pondering, because as we look at this, even now, billions of dollars are coming out of the market as it's up 20% again year to date. So is it waiting for a correction? Right. Yeah, because in the fourth quarter of last year, when the market gave us a 10% correction that turned into 12%, turned into 15%, turned into 20%, with some sectors, amazingly, as we talked before, down some 30% and more. The greatest companies. If only I had a chance to buy Amazon, you know, on a dip, I would. Billions of dollars came out when it dipped 35%. People aren't. So again, you say, why? What's going on? What's different? Because it makes no sense. All we're smarter. We're able to Google anything in the whole wide world. We know what's going on in the world. We're plugged in, wired in like never before in history. What a gift. What a blessing that is. Is it? Is it? Because people stopped thinking. I mean, it makes no sense. I understand people don't get educated anymore. They go to schools and they're not educated. The planet is dying. That's the education we receive. We spend 100% of our time. We teach them how to read, and then we teach them the planet is dying. We're all going to die. Thank you so much. Thank you so much to all the pharmaceutical companies that now can sell anti-depression drugs. Same education I got 40 years ago, teaching even longer, over 40 years ago, teaching me the world would be orange with pollution. Crazy. Stop it. It's crazy. Anyway, we got to figure this out together. We got to walk through this together and figure out somehow what's going on. I got to get out of here. Everybody have a wonderful day, and we'll talk next week. I hope you all have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in.